The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas.
On Free Market.
This broadcast is for information purposes only and should not be regarded as a recommendation or an offer to sell or solicitation of an offer to buy securities or investments mentioned herein. This broadcast is the opinion of Jordan Kimmel. At the time of this broadcast, a member of Mr. Kimmel's household owns shares of the company discussed in this program. Additional information on topics discussed herein available upon request. Good morning. Welcome to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel, the show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now, here's the host of Magnet Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And folks, welcome back to Magnet Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And as we always do, we've lined up a couple of terrific authors and guests for today's show. And we will be bringing on shortly Robin O'Brien, the author of The Unhealthy Truth, really exploring, is our food making us sick, what we could do about it. We'll also bring on, at the bottom of the hour, Robert Fisher, the author of The Naked Portfolio Manager, an excellent book on why rules matter, and some rules-based investing. So let me first share with you, as we always do in the opening segment, what I am seeing in this market here right now. And it is a market that is taking technical analysts for a loop. I subscribe to several different newsletters, several different services, all just to see what people are thinking, seeing from their own independent views. I end up managing money, the Magnet Method, really seeking out the top performers in each industry, in each market sector. But it's important to get a feeling where the market is. And what's really interesting to me is a lot of the technical services, a lot of the guys selling their wares are focused, I believe, on fighting the last war. It's extremely easy to say, was your broker asleep? Did they not react to this last market? Were they ahead of the curve? And people, after a real lost decade, a decade where we've seen the S&P drop 50% two different times, we've really never seen a decade like this. In fact, this is the lowest stock market return for a decade since they have been measuring these numbers. So it's very easy to fight the last battle, and people are literally seeing ghosts at every turn, trying to predict where the market rolls over, trying to be the hero to predict the next bear market. Please remember, bad news sells. If you want to come on television, radio, and say that you can pinpoint a bear market, boy, will they give you some airtime. But the reality is, I have been putting out piece after piece, really urging people to not get emotional at this point, not fall into the traps of the sub 1% money market, and to understand that when the public is absolutely fearful, there's huge opportunity. When the public is absolutely greedy and can't buy enough, that's when you know you need to be cautious. That's when you could be raising cash. That's when you could be using covered calls. That's when you can actually become a little bit more defensive. But despite the fact that, in my opinion, a clear bull market erupted again in March, this is an underloved, underbelieved market. It's an economy, frankly, with no good news out. Employment numbers would stink. Maybe real estate is stabilizing and actually improving, but people just can't figure out where the next set of jobs comes from, where the next set of positive economic numbers come out. And that's why they can't actually distinguish between the stock market and the economy, not having done the homework well enough, not to understand, they actually don't go hip to hip and side to side, shoulder to shoulder. Oftentimes, the market can start doing better when the economy still looks bad. And as we all know from the fall of 2007, the stock market can begin becoming unglued when the world economic conditions look wonderful. What we see here right now is simply an absence on the new low list, a stock market that continues to hit higher highs and higher bottoms, a market where there is literally enough money in the money markets for individuals to buy half of all the stock market outstanding, where corporations, especially technology, basic materials, energy companies, are sitting on massive amounts of cash, and we see nearly a new deal being done every day as the management of companies looks at each other's books and unemotionally says, we need to pull this into our portfolio. We have enough cash on hand. This is how we'll grow. And we're seeing mergers and acquisition activity begin to accelerate rapidly. We begin to see international trade continuing to accelerate as what I call the consumerism, the spread of consumerism. It doesn't matter if it's communist China, if it's socialist Norway, if it's capitalist United States. We are seeing the spread of consumerism, a lot to do with, frankly, I believe, the internet and people beginning to see how other sides of the world live. And this is where all of a sudden water parks in Saudi Arabia show up. This is where all of a sudden we begin to see Nikes worn in every continent, basketball and football jerseys of the U.S. players on every continent. Folks, this is in fact a global market, and when you talk about the tapped out consumerism and this nonsense that the baby boomer generation will stop spending, in my new book, The Magnet Method of Investing, we dedicate a whole chapter to this, how it would actually be okay if the average American, which only represents 5% of the world population, if the average American citizen began to go from, say, 4 meals a day, maybe down to 3 meals a day, while the rest of the world goes from 1 and 2 meals a day to 2 and 3 meals a day, and we can actually spread the global power, we can spread the global consumerism, and not fear for the U.S. consumer supposedly dropping dead as they always do. One last thing I just want to point out about the economy. The other day when I was on CNBC and people were talking about this is the worst employment number since 1983, and I reminded everyone what did in fact 1983 represent. In 1983, the new bull market, which nobody knew was actually even started, had already erupted after 10 years of dismal returns, of an era which the United States throughout the 70s was considered broken, inefficient. We were going to be bought by Japan. We couldn't get our hostages out of Iran. We were absolutely, absolutely considered a third world potential economy and country. Well, folks, you know what happened. We went on an 18-year bull market, a new wave of wealth, really spurred by the technology in, the whole technology sector. But again, here we are now, maybe 7 months into a new bull market, which people don't recognize, following 10 years of dismal returns, where the U.S. is considered having lost their power. It's not lost on me that some new billion-dollar venture capital funds were just created, several names associated with the formation of Cisco Systems, Apple Computer, Oracle, Genentech, all coming together to form clean tech funds to invest in clean energy, coal into natural gas, You name it, folks. I believe we will be spurred by a new technology of both energy, clean tech, and frankly, I'm not smart enough to know some of the other places. We know that biotechnology is spurring huge job growth. We know, in fact, there's huge opportunity. But what happens is we tend to fight the last war. We tend to look in the rearview mirror, and people are now conditioned not to believe in the stock market, not to believe in Wall Street, not to believe in wealth creation, and maybe not to even believe in America anymore. Well, as you all know from listening to the show, I am on a mission. It's not about the highest returns right now, although we're very happy with the way Magnet is working in this market. We've always said our performance is the strongest following recessions, this being no exception. But what I think that needs to happen first is a rebuilding of trust in businesses and business leaders. And this is something I'm working on. We'll be hearing more and more about this from me and partners who I am engaging to work with. We may even, on Voice America, develop a new show to highlight the leaders in this field. And I think, again, until we restore trust in businesses, it doesn't matter what the PE of a given stock is. It doesn't matter what the cash flow of a given stock is if people don't trust their management to do the right thing. So this is what we're working on. This is what is driving me. All this is happening in the context, what I believe, folks, of a new bull market, not a bear market rally. And in fact, after every single technical model in the country going into a bear market last week, to a T, every one of them has been forced now to take their technical indicators and recolor them green. They've turned positive again. We've in fact now seen, only 1 week after a new bear market being talked about, new highs for the year on the major indexes. We're beginning to see a little breath, just a little bit of a reality that things aren't as bad as some politicians said they were so that they can get into office, maybe grab the reins and control over government, try to turn a open free market society into a socialist society. Well, we're not going to get into the politics now, folks. Just understand we're going to help rebuild trust. We're going to do it through a combination, frankly, of quantitatively and qualitatively measurements of trust. Sound familiar? That's what we did with the Magnet stock selection process. We brought in the various components of value, growth, and momentum to create the Magnet stock selection process. Folks, wait till you see what we're up with next. I can't wait to do this. And as I begin to create this transformation, what we've been doing is bringing on interesting guests from different walks of life. Coming up, we're going to hear from Robin O'Brien, and she's written a terrific book about the unhealthy truth, talking about what's going into our foods. And I'll tell you, I hear about this every day at home. I think this will be a fascinating discussion. We're hearing about not only what companies are doing to increase their profits, the question is it sustainable, and is it sustainable for our health? That's the question we'll be looking at following a quick break. Folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Magnet Investing on Voice America Business. We'll be right back.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
At the Magnet Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now, 1-973-895-4444. The Magnet Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks. Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Are you tired of the government squandering your tax dollars on bailouts and overpaid bureaucrats? On Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Mike Beitler and his guests explain why big government regulations are the problem and innovative businesses and free markets are the solution. Listen to Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guests, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magnet Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And folks, welcome back to Magnet Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And I want to turn the mic over to a very interesting guest on a super important subject. We're bringing on Robin O'Brien, the author of The Unhealthy Truth, How Our Food is Making Us Sick and What We Can Do About It. And Robin, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Jordan.
Alrighty, and let me just share, Robin, you know, the M in Magnet stands for management. It's always about the people behind the cause, the company, the book. If you could, Robin, why don't you get into just a couple minutes first about yourself and what kind of led you to read this fascinating book, which I got started on thoroughly enjoying.
Well, you know, I'm a really unlikely crusader. I was raised in Houston, Texas, on capitalism in the Wall Street Journal, and prior to motherhood, I was actually an analyst on a $20 billion fund, and, you know, I really hadn't given much thought to corruption of the food supply, or, you know, I really didn't address government agencies. That certainly wasn't my space. And then we had four kids, and when my fourth child suddenly had an allergic reaction one morning over breakfast, I was thrown into this new childhood epidemic of these kids with food allergies because I hadn't really known anyone that had them when I was a kid. And so, you know, as I suddenly was learning about it, I was absolutely stunned. I went straight to the statistics and the numbers because that's what I like to analyze. And I learned that from 1997 to 2002, there had been a doubling of the peanut allergy and that one out of 17 kids under the age of three suddenly had a food allergy. And that, according to the Centers for Disease Control, there had been a 265% increase in the rate of hospitalizations related to food allergies. I mean, these are jaw-dropping statistics that have just suddenly presented themselves in the last 15 years. And so with that, I stepped back and I said, you know, since when did food get so toxic to a kid? Since when did a PB&J and a carton of milk suddenly become these loaded weapons on a lunchroom table? And so as I began to look into the changes in the food supply, I was absolutely stunned to learn that in 1994, we began to engineer foreign proteins into the food supply and these synthetic ingredients in order to drive profitability for the food industry. And with this background in finance, having been an analyst, you know, I could profoundly appreciate the profit-driven incentive there. However, at the same time that the U.S. was introducing these things into our food supply, governments around the world said these haven't yet been proven safe, and we won't allow them into our food supply. In some cases, they wouldn't allow them even fed to their livestock. And yet here in the U.S., we allowed it. We just flooded it into the U.S. food supply, and there was no labeling that was ever introduced. And so as consumers, we were never informed, and we were never able to make an informed choice as to whether or not we wanted to be consuming these novel foreign proteins and, you know, these new ingredients in our food supply.
Right. Well, I mean, let me ask. Let's take the naive approach and say, hey, listen, our government protects us. They have the FDA for drugs. Clearly, things can't be on the shelves in grocery stores and supermarkets that aren't safe. And that's what a lot of people think. But you're bringing up this issue about untested additives. I mean, maybe you want to highlight some of the things that you've come across specifically, maybe what they're in predominantly that most people aren't even aware they're ingesting.
You bring up such a good point, Jordan, because, you know, again, you know, I was raised to believe in the system, to trust in the system, and that if the FDA had approved it as safe, that it was fine. What I was absolutely stunned to learn is that the FDA is so woefully underfunded that they rely on industry-funded studies for their data. And so, you know, as I began looking at the statistics, I realized that we allocated $600 billion to the Pentagon and only 2.4 to the FDA. And so in November of 2007, the FDA actually issued a report saying American lives are at risk. We can no longer vouchsafe the American food supply because they are not adequately funded to do the independent studies and to conduct the tests, and therefore they rely on industry-funded data. And so beginning in 1994, there was a synthetic hormone that we began injecting into cows to have them make more milk, and it's known as RBGH. And you can see in any grocery store you can buy milk that's RBGH-free now. As that synthetic protein was injected into cows, it was linked to all kinds of horrific conditions in the animals, and it required increased antibiotic use. And for that reason, governments around the world said, you know, we don't want this in our food supply. We don't want this increased antibiotic use in our food supply. And then on top of that, studies were showing that it elevated hormone levels that were linked to breast, prostate, and colon cancer. So as all of this evidence started to come through, governments around the world said, this is, you know, this hasn't yet been proven safe. We're not going to allow it into our food. And so Canada, the UK, Australia, Japan, and all across Europe did not allow this synthetic growth hormone into their dairy. Yet here in the U.S., the FDA was underfunded. They didn't have the capacity to do the studies themselves. And so they relied on the corporation that was bringing this product to market. And as you can imagine, the corporation bringing it to market, the study said it was fine. The study said it was safe. And interestingly, as I got into the FDA and how this was approved, the corporation actually had people who were developing the studies in-house for them then move into the FDA and approve their own studies. And again, you know, when you stop and you say, you know, in our system, this is simply how it works. Technically, is there anything wrong with that? Not in our system. You know, ethically, is there a problem here? For some people, yes, maybe there is. It was enough of a concern that governments around the world said, The few independent studies that we do have indicate that this could present a significant health risk. And for that reason, we're going to be much more precautious and we're not going to allow this into the food supply. And yet here in the U.S., we relied on these industry-funded studies and we allowed it in. And I think what's shocking is that when you look at the fact that we've had this dramatic increase, for example, in breast cancers, and that today 1 in 8 women has breast cancers, what most people don't realize is that only 1 in 10 of those cases are genetic, which means that 9 out of 10 of those cases are environmentally triggered. And here we've got these environmental insults that we've introduced into the food supply in the last 15 years that governments around the world didn't allow. And so, again, it's to stop and say, okay, you know, if we do have this RBGH, what can we do? And that's the second part of the book. You know, what can I do to help reduce my family's exposure to some of these chemicals in the food supply and feed my family the way families around the world have been fed for the last 15 years.
Right. And Robin, you know, you're bringing up a great point that the debate that goes on inside this house is that there's just too many mouths to feed, that companies need to do this genetic engineering. And I don't believe that's the case, but that's one of the discussions. And the thought is, if you can't really trust the companies or even your government to keep you safe, then what actually can you do inside your own house to make it healthier environment for you and your family?
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. You know, and I think when you really look at the fact that the FDA was trying to warn us in November 2007 with this report, and then you look at the headlines we've had for the last 2 years where the FDA is just, again, repeatedly, there are no safety tests. There aren't enough consultants that they have on staff to, you know, go to all of these plants and monitor the food safety system. I mean, we've got to, we've deregulated the system to such a tremendous amount that really, you know, there is not a lot of consumer protection in place. And I parallel it a lot to what we've seen happen in the financial industry. We deregulated so tremendously that, you know, it allowed the financial industry to basically write their own rules to the detriment of the consumer. And very much the same thing has happened in the food system. And so to step back and say, you know, are these genetically engineered products actually delivering what these corporations promised? You know, and sure, corporations can promise these things. That drives stock price. That, you know, that returns, you know, what exactly what the shareholders are looking for. They're doing their fiduciary duty by saying, you know, yeah, we're going to deliver these things. We've got promise in the pipeline, and that drives stock price. What is absolutely fascinating to me is that the corporation that it had been promising these enhanced yields and how it was going to feed the poor and feed the world and everything else for the last 10 years, they've been promising this. Just this Tuesday at that investor conference, they conceded that the yields were not delivering as anticipated, and now they are promising that the delivery will come in the form of a product mix. And so, you know, we've had independent studies coming out from, you know, World Health Organization, some of the leading international bodies saying these products aren't delivering as this corporation is promising. Where that may drive, you know, return for shareholders, it's not actually driving return for eaters. Which is, you know, as a country, we're a nation of 300 million eaters, and we've all got a stake in this food supply. And so it's fascinating because, you know, as you know, I mean, a lot of it can be managed to drive earnings, but whether it actually delivers, you know, the product to market as promised, you know, eventually that catches up with them. And I think it's fascinating that just this week they've conceded that it's not, you know, that the product is not delivering as they had promised.
Right. I think you're hitting right to the core of the issue. And let me just say again, you know, I'm holding your book, The Unhealthy Truth, Robin O'Brien. Robin, I'm sure it's available, you know, in all the bookstores and Amazon.com and all. Is there a website that they should go to as well? Or how do they find out more about what you're talking about in addition to buying your book?
Well, you know, I initially founded an organization called Allergy Kids. And so if you go to allergykids.com, you can learn about that organization, which is designed to protect the children with what we call the four A's, allergies, autism, ADHD, or asthma. And it was through the work that I was doing with Allergy Kids that I literally found myself at the belly of the beast, you know, where all of a sudden there was this tremendous story that hadn't been unearthed in this food allergy space. And to learn that industry had been funding the pediatric research, that information had not been disclosed. We had not been given full transparency when it came to the funding behind these organizations, some patents that these doctors had invented. And again, technically, there's nothing wrong with that. However, full disclosure and transparency is absolutely critical when you're trying to make an informed choice on how to protect the health of your family. And so through AllergyKids.com, there are free newsletters people can subscribe to. There's information about the book. There's information about some of these doctors. And again, you know, once you have that as a family, then you can make an informed choice to help protect your kids and your family.
Right. Absolutely fantastic segment, Robin. I think that this is really critical that we're thinking about. It's not only a matter of accumulation of wealth, of course. The first thing is health. And so keeping your health within your family and then taking the extra step, as you're doing, to inform the general public. My hat is off to you, and we'd love to have you on again to talk about progress that you're making and your foundation's making.
Thank you so much, Jordan. Thanks for your time.
All righty. We'll be back to hear more about that for sure. In the meantime, we need a quick commercial break. Then we're going to go turn back to the investment world itself with the author of The Naked Portfolio Manager. We're going to keep it clean. We'll bring on Robert Fisher next to talk about his new book, The Naked Portfolio Manager. Stick with us. We shall be right back after this quick commercial break.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
At the Magna Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now, 1-973-895-4444. The Magna Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
To perform at your maximum potential, you need to have all aspects of your life working properly. On Mind, Brain, and Body, Dr. Michael John Kell will bring you honest, open discussions concerning your physical, mental, and financial health. If you're ready to find purpose and meaning in your life, tune in to Mind, Brain, and Body every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific. Mind, Brain, and Body on Voice America Health and Wellness. Radio dedicated to your health, wealth, wisdom, and purpose.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And folks, welcome back. Welcome back to Magna Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And it is a pleasure to bring on the author of a new book called The Naked Portfolio Manager, and I love the subtitle, Why Rules Trump Reason on Wall Street. We have Robert Fisher on the phone. And Bob, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jordan. I'm glad to be here.
All right. And I also noticed you are a certified financial planner. And I can call you Bob, right?
Yes.
Okay, Bob, let me just share, as I always do, the M in Magnet stands for management. We always want to know more about the folks we're having on our show. Why don't you get into a couple minutes of your own background and how you got to writing The Naked Portfolio Manager?
Well, I've been managing money for affluent clients for over 20 years, and I always found that rules-based methods just worked so much better for me. I was more comfortable with them, but it wasn't until a couple of years ago when I decided to do some research for a piece for my practice, where I came across the work of a fellow by the name of Paul Meehl, who was a psychologist. And what Meehl said was that people make better decisions when they follow a clearly defined rules-based process instead of when they use this thing that we carry around between our shoulders. And so essentially what that led to is saying, gee, this is talked about in psychology, cardiology, radiology, but how come it's not talked about very often in stock marketology? And that was the genesis of the book, The Naked Portfolio Manager.
Right. No, I think it's fantastic. And I started reading through it, and I think that, you know, one of the things that you talk about, and I think it's so important, is that, you know, the media stirs up a lot of emotions. People, once they're acting emotionally and kind of thinking through and reacting to news rather than using a process. And you came up with your own acronym. It's really interesting. Statistical Prediction Method. Why don't you talk about the essence of what that is?
Well, a statistical prediction method is a rules-based way to make investment decisions. And what I say in the book is that if you will focus your efforts on deciding what rules you're going to select to manage your portfolio, as opposed to selecting what stocks are in the portfolio, just concentrate on your rules, then the rules will determine the portfolio. I mean, one of the things that I liked so much about Magnet Investing is you went and you had your guideposts. And if you take those guideposts, those six guideposts in Magnet, and an investor says, okay, I'm going to use those to determine rules for making, for creating my portfolio, then he'll have a very, very clearly defined process to follow, and he won't make the types of emotional errors or thinking errors that are so prevalent among individual investors as well as professional investors.
Right. Now, the whole second part of your book is really about the common thinking errors. And so maybe we spend a lot of time telling people what to do. Maybe just a couple, one or two of the common errors you think a lot of people, even affluent investors, fall into the same traps.
Sure. Well, one of those is loss avoidance or regret avoidance. And I'll give you an example. I talked to a professional investor. He bought a stock at 50, and he wrote it down to 2. Now, somewhere between 50 and 2, rational analysis, as you know, you laugh because it was replaced by hope. Now, I don't know whether that was at 45 or 40 or 25 or where, but I know that's what happened there. And that is a thinking error that occurs. If you had a rule that says, hey, I replace stocks at this point in my portfolio, you wouldn't make that type of error. Another one, you know, Warren Buffett admits that he made this mistake. He said, you know, I've missed billions when I've got anchored. You know, when we irrationally fixate on a price, you know, gee, I don't want to pay more than $23 for this stock. And you know, Buffett missed a chance to buy an awful lot of Walmart because, as he admitted, he got anchored. So those are two types of thinking errors that professional investors make that you can avoid if you rigidly stick to naked portfolio strategies.
Right. And so let's get into really part four, embracing nakedness. We're going to keep this a G-rated show if we can. but the point is you bring up a comparison with military history, portfolio management, and, you know, exposing the industry as a couple subtitles. Why don't you share exactly what you meant by those?
Well, I think that the fund industry has propagated a myth. And the myth is that the people listening to this show, individual investors, cannot do a good job managing their portfolios. So the best thing for them to do is just give their money to a mutual fund. And we know that the majority of mutual funds on an annual basis underperform the market averages. Now, individual investors have a lot of advantages. And if they will use their advantages, they will fight on their own terms, as I say in the book, the naked portfolio manager, then what they will be able to do is, you know, I believe, you know, beat a larger and a much larger force.
Well, I think that's tremendous. And I think, you know, I completely agree with you. I think that you also, you know, what I really enjoy is where you show your additional reading. I happen to like a lot of what you have in your additional reading, but I'm going to let you come, you know, all the way, if you could, to the conclusion you reach in your book. And I absolutely agree that the individual investor, because they could buy companies before they're in the multi-billion-dollar market cap already, if they could spot something early enough, that's how the bigger money is made. But you have a conclusion that you come to yourself, so why don't you share it?
Well, absolutely. I agree that, you know, individual investors have certain advantages because they don't have to invest like mutual funds. But if they will stick rigidly to rules-based strategies, they will be able to get an advantage that few people on Wall Street have.
Right. And why do you think it is so hard for individuals, even money managers, to stick with a rules-based approach?
Well, I think you can draw an analogy with football. The coach goes out there and he says, okay, guys, before the game, remember today, no turnovers. Well, you know what? You know, interceptions and fumbles, if you're going to play football, that's what's going to happen. And if we use this thing that we carry around on our shoulders, our head, and we think, because we're human, we just cannot help but you know, feeling fear and feeling greed, and we have certain innate thinking processes that we don't even realize that cause us to go astray. Now, you know, you spent 25 years developing magnet investing. And if a person goes ahead and says, I'm going to use magnet investing to pick my portfolio, I think he'll do very well. But if he goes ahead and says, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to take magnet investing as an example, and I'm going to convert this into very, very specific rules that are so clear that I can go, I'll give them to my wife, I'll give them to my 9-year-old daughter, and I'll give them to my personal trainer, and they go ahead and apply those, we'll all make the same decisions. What will happen is we'll be able to factor out those emotional errors and those thinking errors, and it will improve our application of the theory.
Right, and I couldn't agree with you more. I'll tell you, there's another thing that you mentioned, and I think that you're very clear in saying maybe there's no pure holy grail that allows you to pick winners every time. It's a matter of controlling your emotion, and what I believe is the combination of proper portfolio construction followed by proper portfolio management. Maybe you want to touch on that for a minute.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, there are many ways that work as far as investing. The fundamental principle in naked portfolio in a naked portfolio manager is that, you know, we need to have a systematic way to make decisions and factor out these types of errors that occur. Can I tell you about an experiment they're doing with the book at Sweetbriar College?
Go for it.
They're using the book as a textbook, and each of the ladies there, it's an all-female college, is creating their own set of transparent rules for managing their portfolio. Now, what the professor is going to do is that they're going to put those rules up on the Internet, and they'll compare those to a top-performing mutual fund. So you'll have a top-performing fund manager, and then you'll have Jenny, or you'll have Laura, or you'll have Brittany, and you'll have their rules. And what he's going to do on a forward going for 2010 is track how Jenny's rules or how Laura's rules work versus the top portfolio manager. And the essence of this experiment is to show that even these bright young ladies who've never managed money, if they stick to a rules-based process, picking variables that have shown to produce good results over a long period of time, they will do. I think they may do very. They very well may do better than the best minds on Wall Street.
Well, you know what else it might do? It might help these guys who are participating in the experiment. It may help them follow rules a little bit better themselves. Maybe that's another possible outcome. What I want you to do, Bob, if you have a website, we're going to come to commercial soon. If you have, I know the book's available on Amazon and other places. If you can, if you have your own website, you want to get people a way to contact you, feel free to do that.
Yes. They can contact me by going to the website, www.nakedportfoliomanager.com. And by the way, Jordan, if anybody goes to the website and they mention that they heard this on the Jordan Kimmel Show, we have a free ebook that talks about the types of thinking errors we talked about that they can register for, and we can send to them if they send me an email there and just mention that they heard me on the Jordan Kimmel Show.
Well, Well, tremendous. Thanks for throwing that benefit out to the listeners. It's a pleasure. What we have to do another time, Robert, is bring you back on and find out how you came to the title. But I know Warren Buffett liked to say that you don't know who's naked until the tide goes out. It's what I'm thinking of. Right? But listen, let me thank you for coming on. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jordan.
All righty. And folks, you are listening to Magnet Investing on Voice America Business. We need a quick break. We're coming back to wrap it and tie this all together. Stick with us. We're going to be right back. Quick commercial break.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
At the Magnet Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now, 1-973-895-4444. The Magnet Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
It's sex education like you've never heard before. Want to improve your love life? You know, that love life. Join sexual wellness expert and certified erotic educator Jaya for Sex with Jaya. She'll bring you cutting-edge techniques to expand your erotic repertoire. Jaya will offer advice and speak with guests who will shed light on everything to do with sex. You can even listen together with that special someone. Sex with Jaya is broadcast live every Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. Drawing on resources from wellness communities throughout America and abroad, the show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Wellness Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magnet Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And folks, welcome back to Magnet Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And let me share that what we did a couple of weeks ago, as we are really gaining momentum to try to do something about restoring trust in this country, we put out a call for guests, and let me tell you, we were overwhelmed. And this morning, as I sat down to write a note to the head of Voice America, really sharing my enthusiasm not only for the show, but for the production, the quality of the internet, one of the beautiful features is you're able to go back and actually listen to prior segments, see what was said. And I'm very proud of the fact that on our show, we have had on the likes of William O'Neill from Investors Business Daily to take a full hour segment to discuss his paper. We have had on the number one most successful hedge fund manager in the history of the industry, Michael Steinhardt. And I think we're going to play his segment again on Thanksgiving when everyone's kind of taking a break from the switchboard. We've had on Jimmy Rogers, perhaps the single most successful individual fund manager ever. And again, the reason I bring this all up is now we put out a call to some folks to do with trust. And again, just like our last guest with the Naked Portfolio Manager, I think what's very important with Robin O'Brien from Unhealthy Food Discussion, I think what we need to do is kind of strip away from what the large media forces on us, whether you need a portfolio manager, whether you can't do it yourself, whether you have to trust everything on a food shelf. What we're talking about is a blend of transparency in industries which simply cannot get fought anymore, a ethical behavior of not only doing what you're legally permitted to do up into the edge, but what you would want done, just going back to the golden rule, how would you want your grandmother treated? How would you want your mother treated? And when I first got into the industry, someone told me, listen, clients are going to forgive you. They don't expect you to walk on water and make every prediction, you know, in the financial industry and every stock to go up. But what they do matter is how you're treated and how you treat other people. And if you simply treat each account as an extended family member, that's a good enough road sign to follow. And if each industry and each business leader just followed the golden rule, and then there's one more rule I want them to follow, not only do unto others as you want done unto yourself, but how about just do what you say and follow through and make sure if you make a commitment or you make a promise, just deliver. And in this era, for some reason, all you have to do is do what you say and you'll actually stand apart. And that's scary. One of the things we're coming across is these assessments on accountability. And if I gave you a little list of the professionals that I pay to do certain services whose office makes one excuse after another why they didn't send the letter, why they didn't fax the form, why they didn't do this, why it's scary. And these are professional organizations. And I think what we need to do as a commitment to making better business is follow these kind of, whether it's called Six Sigma or whether it's just called do the right thing. And when you have leadership, and that's where the M in Magnet stands for, when you are doing it from the top down and a corporate culture is pushed down on customer first, doing it right, going the extra mile, whatever kind of catchphrase you want to use, all of a sudden, those are the companies that are actually making the technological breakthroughs. Those oftentimes are the companies that become magnet stocks. And what we call magnet stocks, folks, it is so highly disciplined. It is so highly structured in terms of how many variables company needs to score out high on. And please remember, nobody can do it forever, and almost no company can do it year in and year out, or decade in and decade out. And what I think is the biggest untold fact on Wall Street is that the reason long term the averages do go up is the index makers change the components in the index. Folks, if you had stuck with the Dow originally, you would own a bunch of bankrupt railroad companies. If you stuck with the Dow through the 30s and 40s, you'd have things like buggy whips, and you'd have companies that simply aren't in business anymore. And what has happened is the S&P and the Dow, and rightfully so, will continue to take out older broken companies or companies that simply passed their growth lines and succumb to this S-curve, which we have our own chapter in the book, Magnet Method. And they replace them with new companies and new industries. And so what you will see in the S&P over time will be more companies involved with solar power, with alternative energy, with biotechnology, with things, folks, that we can't even dream of at the moment. You know that I've talked recently and written an article that there's now the first energy plant being built in outer space by Japan so that they could make energy more efficiently, harness it, beam it back to Earth. First, plants are actually in outer space. There are things, whether it's going to be underwater exploration, whether it's going to be space travel, companies that dominate those new industries will come into the S&P, will come into the Dow, and there'll be certain individuals talking about, but, I still own, you name it, XYZ, whether it was the former leader in the airlines industry, Pan Am, whether it was the former leader in the steel industry, Bethlehem Steel. Those companies have no bid, no valuation. They are gone forever. So, folks, stay on the magnet course. Seek out the best, be disciplined, think longer term, be balanced, and I think that's the key both to investing and to building sustainable business and sustainable health. Folks, we're going to be back next week. We actually are chock full of guests all throughout the year. I hope you like the new guests. I hope you like what's going on in the show, and please email me and call me directly. Go to magnetinvesting.com, pick up a copy of the book, and let us know how we can better help you, and we'll take it from there. Thanks again. We'll see you next week on Voice America Business. It's Jordan Kimmel signing off for Magnet Investing. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.
The Voice America Business Channel would like to thank you for logging on to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in each and every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern Time for another exciting hour of Magnet Investing right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, the Voice America Business Channel.